Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this awesome, magnificent day. Thank you for the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in all of us. We appreciate you so much, and you mean so much to us, even if we don't know who you are. Your presence alone helps sustains us. So we just want to thank you and give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I want to read something out of the Jesus calling. I want to read the message today, and then I'm going to get into my message. It says, in a world of unrelenting change, I am the one who never changes. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Find in me the stability for which you have yearned. I created a beautifully ordered world, one that reflects my perfection. Now, however, the world is under bondage of sin and evil. Every person on the planet faces gaping jaws of uncertainty. The only antidote to this poisonous threat is drawing closer to me. In my presence, you can face uncertainty with perfect peace. The antidote is drawing closer to him. The message today is keys of the kingdom. Well, the key of the kingdom. Listen, it's important to understand, I hope, last week we talked about the pearl of great value, and we talked about the kingdom, and so I kind of want to really hone in on this so you guys get a better understanding, and so when you leave here, you will not be the same. I'm always excited what God is doing for us, and it's often, I was telling Brother Derek in my office today, it's so much stuff, man, we have to almost unlearn because we learn so much stuff incorrectly. But the beauty of God is that he said, those who seek him shall find him, right? And so often we talk about seeking God, but we don't spend much time really trying to seek him. The key to God is being in union with him, being in unity with God, being one with God. That's why Jesus, before he left, he says, Father, make them one as we are one, right? Make them one as we are one. When God created the world, he created the world to be one. Everybody say one. And it's important to understand that, and because if we miss it, we miss everything. So we have a tendency to want to treat people any kind of way and run people down and talk about people and build ourselves up and think we're important, because we think we have creative ideas that's unique and it's my business or my recipe or my way of doing things, and I'm not going to tell you my secret, right? And so I was teasing my guy's sister because she's a phenomenal cook, and I was teasing her, and I says, you got to give me the recipe, you know, and she, you know, and people guard recipes like they're important, right? People guard recipes like it's theirs, right? And there's nothing in this world, hear me out, there's nothing in this world that belongs to just you. All the knowledge in the world is open for everybody, right? And that's important. So when you get information and knowledge and you feel like you have to hide it and you have to hoard it and think it's mine and it's such a secret I don't want anybody to know, I just want you to know it's not a secret. Right? Because it belongs to the universe. And since it's God, and God lives in all of us, what he dropped in somebody else, he also dropped in you. Right? Yesterday, my son and I was repairing my garage door, and we just could not get the door lined up. and it wouldn't line up right. And we was messing with it, and we just hang it up till tomorrow. So I go to dinner, and my uncle, I was telling my uncle, who's a pretty good carpenter, I said, man, I was putting this door, AJ and I, man, I could not get it. I know the issue is with the hinges. I know that because I went to school for it. I said, those hinges are tricky. He said, Unc, man, listen. He said, he do a lot of building. He said, man, I don't mess with that stuff no more. He said, I just get a prefab door. He said, and everything's already there. You just stick it in, right? And it all go. And I said, wow. And the thing was, I often think about spiritual answers. Well, God said the knowledge is in the universe, in all of us. So if I don't have the knowledge, somebody else do. But it don't belong to them. It belongs to all of us, right? So we're going to kind of like walk through that. Now, in the book of 1 John, all right, and so I'm going to kind of walk through this here so it makes sense, right? It says, now, I want you to hear me well, all right, as we get this. Now, you may agree and you may not agree, but I think you're going to agree with it, right? It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. All right, and that's important to understand that. So in the beginning of time, the Word already existed. Then it says, the Word was with God, right? And the Word was God. Everybody say oneness. Everybody say oneness. And the Word was God, right? He, which is the Word, existed in the beginning with God. So that means the Word existed with God. So the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It seemed like the Word and the God was the same, right? Everybody say oneness. That's important. So the key to the kingdom is oneness. Everybody say oneness. Now, he goes on to say this. He says, God, everybody say God, created everything through him. Who is the him? It's the Word, right? So he created everything through the Word, right? And nothing was created except through him. That means, so everything that was created through God, right? Raise your hand if you're with me so far, right? Now, so that means if everything was created by him, none of it is yours. So none of the knowledge or the information that you thought up in your head was really your idea. It was already God's idea that he placed in you so you can transport it to somebody else. So all the knowledge was his in the beginning. He said the Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. So the Word, right, which is really in the beginning with God, right, it seemed like the Word was really the mind of God. Because everything is created in the mind. Right? So God's mind created everything, right? And if he created everything, that means it all belong in one place and it belongs to one person. But yet so many of us have access, right? So when you think of something in your mind, don't think of it in isolation and think it's just your thoughts. Because that thought was already in the universe. And your thought was there, and so when you thought about something, you manifested and you saw the effects, but the cause was in your mind. But the cause was really God, because God resides in you, right? But if he resides in you, he don't only reside in you. I know you want to be selfish, think you got your own personal God. But he all of our fathers, right? Because he created all things. I'm gonna prove that to you, because it's important as you move in society, right? So then, in John 5, it says, the light shineth in the darkness, right? And the darkness can never extinguish. I don't care what happens, you cannot put out the light of God, right? I don't care what the devil do and all the people in it. God light and God power supersedes everything, and there's nothing can stop it. Right? And so that's important. So the light, which is the power of God, shines in the darkness. Right? And nothing can stop it. Now here's the thing. When God drops it in you, no one can stop it. No one has the ability or the power to stop it. Now, some people think they're so smart because they went to school, they got a corner on the market. Because I noticed it because God spoke to me and God gave me the revelation. And that's your revelation. And the problem is your revelation. And you think because it's your revelation and you got a great understanding of it because you interpreted the thought that is your thought and you think is right. Right? So therefore you make everybody else wrong. Right? Now, remember, God is one. But he manifests himself in three. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, the manifestation of Jesus in the earth is to show us, man, how we as human beings can move with the mind of God operating in us. Right? So the mind of God works in Jesus, and he moves, and his body is the instrument that God used or the mechanism or the machine that he used to move in the earth to really transport the thought of God in the earth. So God wanted to get his thoughts through in the earth, so he gave it to us in our brain so we can transfer it to other people through what we call thought. Now, I know you don't understand it, but it makes sense. If you old like Dr. Abiyade, when they had Morse code, right? And so your thought, the Morse code was not the message. The message was in your mind, and the Morse code was the symbol. So you how many people ever sent a telegram? Anybody ever sent? Some of you guys don't know what a telegram is. Y'all so young, right? They used to call them cablegrams, even when you go back to the 1800s, right? But how many people ever talk on the cell phone, right? Now, it's amazing. Isn't it amazing how you can be on the telephone and you can talk to somebody in a whole nother country, right? And all you have is a device in your hand, right? And something happens in this wave or this energy that whatever comes out of your mouth can travel on waves of energy and make it to the other end. And listen. And on the other end, somebody has to interpret what you say. Right? So remember now, this is all God. This ain't got nothing to do with you. I know you smart, but they said, no, man, God created the system, right, in the mind of someone else. They didn't create it. A lot of stuff, if you start studying history, was already in existence, man, way before the 21st century. The people just didn't discover it, right? So you have to understand the power of God. Right? So now, this is where it's going to get good, right? In Genesis chapter 1, and I want you to hear me well as we deal with this. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kind, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kind, and it was so. Right? Who did it? God. Then it says this. And God made the beasts of the earth according to what? Their kind. And the livestock according to what? Their kind. And everything that creepeth on the ground according to its kind. God saw that it was what? So everything was created by God, and it was what? Man had nothing to do with it. It was all God. All right? And then he said this in verse 26. Then God said, right, let us make man in our image. Now, he made all the animals, Spud, after their kind. But when he got ready to make the humans, he made them after him. He said, they're going to be a little different, right? Now, here's the thing. He says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and we want them to control all the other things that I created. I want them to be responsible and accountable to me. All right? And understand that everything I created is good, so don't you mistreat it. Right? I'm going to give you dominion. Anytime you give someone dominion over something, that don't mean you have the power to destroy it. you really have power to enhance it and lift it up and elevate it, right? That's why he says, I gave them gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ, right? So he gave you some power and some dominion. He created you in his image. Now, if you're going to control anything or you're going to have dominion over anything, you got to have dominion through your mind. You got to be able to control it through your mind. You can't control no other way except through your mind. So when God resides in our mind and he's working through us, and he said, listen, and we got to work in conjunction, in union with the universe and with God, because God is over everything. So you have to have appreciation. If you don't understand that we are really one, we just want to separate ourselves as though we're different. But in reality, man, if God really peeled back the layers, there's not much difference between you and me. Not even the way we think, right? We just don't tell everybody what we think. We just keep it private, right? But if you can really tell my thoughts, some of the same issues that I have, you have, right? And if God really reveals it, then you wouldn't be judging me. You have a great appreciation of me because we're the same. Because we all created in God's image and in God's likeness. So our mindset is really, God gave it to us so we can operate in conjunction with him. That's the whole purpose and power of the Spirit of God, so we can run the earth in conjunction with him. But we have to know and appreciate everything in the universe. We have to appreciate people. Now, the reason I'm saying this, because I got a phone call this morning and said there was a party last night and 10 young people got shot, right? Yeah, at the one party. Then it says somebody at the carnival, two other kids got shot. These are kids, not adults. Now this is just in Muskegon, right? So somebody took a gun, right, and thought it was all right to try to take someone else's life that God had given them. Somebody somewhere felt like that they was more valuable than the person across from them. And said, it's more important that I live than you. And I don't like what you're doing, so let me try to end your life. Right? Which you don't have the power to do, even if you kill me, because spirits don't die. Right? But you think you're doing it. Right? But spirits don't die, they just keep living. Right? Eternally. Now, I can prove that to you later on, and I'm going to do it. Right? Now, so when God says, let us create man in our image and our likeness, we have to understand that God wanted us to have dominion in everything in the earth. In order for us to have dominion over things, we got to figure out, we got to go back to the original source and say, God, how do you want me to run this earth? What do you want me to do, right? Why did you give me your spirit? Why did you create me in your image from the first place? Why am I so important? He said, because I wanted to colonize earth. And I wanted to run earth from heaven through the species that I call humans. Right? He said, so I'm going to be there, but I'm going to be in all of them running the show. Right? But if you don't think God is in you, you won't act like he's in you. If you don't believe God resides in you, you won't treat people like God resides in you. So you'll cheat people, you'll con them, you'll lie to them, you'll take advantage, you'll tell them stuff that you know is not true so you can get what you want or get what they got. Because you want something that somebody else has when you have access to it already. Everything that somebody else has, you have the ability to be able to produce it yourself. Everything that anybody else can do, you have the ability to do it yourself. People say, oh, no, you don't. I'm telling you, the knowledge is in the universe. The knowledge is in God. It's not in them. It's in God. The thing is, you got to tap into the power source. That's why he says all things are possible. Now, if you don't believe it's true, then don't say it. Quit quoting it then. Right? Don't quote it. If you don't believe all things are possible to them, don't say it then. Quit lying to yourself. just say, oh, God, that scripture, it ain't true. But it is possible, because if God resides in you, greater is, that is where? If he's in you, what can stop you? But if he's in me, how I see you is different. How I deal with you is different, right? Some of you all raise your hand if you have a pet dog, right? Some of you all treat your dog better than you do your neighbor. Even though you was created in God's image and you're supposed to have dominion, you treat a dog better than you treat your own brother or sister. That's why he says, if you've done it to the least of them, you've done it unto me. The problem is we're in America. America is a capitalistic society, and all they think about, how can I get more of, even though I already got a lot of. I got two pair of shoes, but I want four, even though I can only wear one. And I want more of them. I want more and more and more, even if it's to your detriment. Right? So I can start a company and I can make a lot of money and then give you less, because God don't really know what I'm doing to you, because I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm Holy Ghost filled, right? But my behavior doesn't reflect the God that I say I serve. I was talking to a lady and she was telling me about a situation that they were part of a team, and one of the people that was on the team, it was a very tight team, and one of the person, I no longer were part of this team, and it was a saved team, and these women were powerful women, it was prayer warriors, but this other person said, well, I no longer want to be a part of them anymore, right? And so then somebody else got mad and they started treating them different, but we was talking about God the whole time. God is our everything, and we praying to him and we worship, and he's awesome. But if you don't do what I want you to do, right? And so God is trying to say, well, what are you doing here? What are you doing? We're trying to change the world, and I've exposed myself to you. I've manifested myself in your life, but yet you keep on doing things so contrary, and people can't even see me because they see you. So you have to really die to God. One of the keys of the kingdom is dying to you and coming alive to God. One of the keys of the kingdom, you have to die to you. It's no longer about me, but it's about you. It's about how do I help you be all you can be. No, I want you to do it. If you don't do what I say do or do it my way, then I'm going to fall out with you. Right? But the key of the kings, I got to, God blessed us. That's why Jesus told his disciples when he was trying to get them to understand the power of the Holy Spirit, he told them this. He says, listen, if you want to be great in the kingdom, it's only one way to be great. He said, in order to be great, he said, you have to divide yourself and become multiple. He said, and part of you have to give yourself away. He said, you got to be willing to serve in the kingdom. If you understand, he said, the reason, because the only way you can buy it, you got to really tap into God. If anybody in this room have a real serious prayer life and a real serious devotion, they know, man, when they in their prayer closet in the morning, in their devotion, man, everybody look like God. Everything you do is about God because you're in the moment, right? But sometimes when you leave the moment, right, and you walk away from your prayer closet and you brush your teeth and go to work, now you see people differently now. Right? Why don't you see them the same way when you're in communion with God? You should be in communion with God all the time. Why is that? Because I'm representing him all the time. Everything belongs to him. Everybody was created in his image. Now, I had a big debate. I was with my pastors, and I had a big debate in my group, and they're like, no, you don't. I said, listen, man, I don't care what you say. You're not going to convince me otherwise. that God created all of us in this image. He said, no, man, you got it wrong. Don't get it twisted. I said, okay, fine. I said, the issue is you want me to buy into what you think. And I'm telling you, God created us all in his image. Now, the thing is, we have to believe it and then walk in it. He's there, we have to believe it. And so, no, he don't believe it. If he's not, then what's going to make you love Jesus? What's going to make you fall in love with Jesus if God is not in you? Where's comfort? If I don't have nothing, if I don't have a God in me, what's going to draw me to Jesus? Something got to draw me. What's going to draw me? If he's not already in me, the magnet's got to be there for me to even love him. Well, I'm just, you know, they prayed for me. Yep. I don't care how much somebody pray for you. You got to believe it. Something got to, I was telling my goddaughter this morning. I said, listen, honey. I said, quit being mad at these boys and quit clowning. I said, you just teach them. Right? You teach them and let God do the rest. Because as quiet as it kept, you're not going to control them. You can whoop him. You can put him on punishment. You can take his moped away from him. You can tell him he can't go to his friend's house. I said, all you're going to do is make him fight you. Because you don't get to control him, right? And you only get to control him as much as he allows you to control him. And if you don't believe it, he'll let you whoop him before he lets you control him. And you'll beat him. And I beat him. You think you can beat it out of him? And then you have to beat him tomorrow. He's because I'm not going to let you control me because God created me this way. You trying to make me be like you when God made me this way. Just so, if you allow me to be who God called me to be, you get to see the real beauty of God. You know I'm telling the truth because some of you all weren't worth a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of, and God changed your life. They told you you weren't going to be nothing, you weren't going to mount anything, and now you're a superstar. But if you go by what somebody else said, you were never going to, especially some of your parents, but I swear to God, you're just like your daddy. You're not going to be nothing, and you grow up better than them in human standard because you don't never get better than anybody else, right? But in your mind, you think you're better now because you succeeded. But they thought, all right, let me get through this because this is good, right? So if God created me in his image, in his likeness, who are you to tell me I'm not? Right? Who are you to tell me I'm not? Well, I'm telling you, I can tell by the way you act. No, you can't. Because a lot of you all are putting on masks. A lot of you all are play actors. They call them hypocrites, right? You're play acting. A lot of you guys fell in love with somebody and you thought it was them and they took the mask off after you married them. And you said, if I had only known. Right? Because it was play acting, right? Now, but the image of God, when you really understand who you are in God and realize that, and I start to treat, if I treat people the way that God wants me, then I get to see the beauty of God. If I just love you like God told me to love you, then I get to really see, I can make you take your mask off by loving you. So the manifestation of God in my life can really magnify the God in your life. Because once somebody really know you care, then they'll take their mask off and they'll show you who they are. And then you can help them. You can't even counsel somebody until you get them to take their mask off. Right? And, my therapist is in the house today, and I mean when I first met with Dr. Abiade, and I was like clammed up like sardine in a can. Right? He couldn't get nothing out of me to save his life. Right? And then he said one thing. He didn't know what happened. He said, I don't know why God told me not to charge you. He said, but I can't even charge you. He said, I don't know why God assigned me to you. He said, but he did. Right? And then he started to dig into my life. And he says, and I just love you. He said, I'm your pastor. He said, I'm coming alongside you. And I went to the hospital in Ann Arbor. And everywhere I went, he was there. I couldn't even make him stay at home. Now, this is real talk. I ain't making this up. I couldn't make him stay at home. Wherever I go, I'm driving. I'm in Ann Arbor. He driving out every surgery. He's there. Whatever. All I do is act like it, right? And what I found out was the more he loved me, the more I started taking my mask off and telling them what really was going on in my life. And then once I started really telling them what was going on in my life, and then the burden started lifting, then the God in me started to really start to show. But it didn't start to show until I realized that he was loving me. So the God in him brought out the God in me. It was there. So God wants you guys to see it. Now watch this here, Genesis. He says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he, him. Male and what? Both of us, the male and the female, God created in his image. Not just me. And he's not talking about your physical body. He's talking about spiritually. Right? He's talking about the Spirit of God manifested in your life. That's the image. So now, spirit, that's why he told this, you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, how? Do I go back in my mother's womb? And here's the thing. If you don't ever get anything, here's what he told Nicodemus. He said, nobody knows which way the wind bloweth. They don't even know how it come. Can anybody tell you where the Holy Ghost comes? Because they don't know how it come. He said, that's how I am. He said, I show up and show out. And can nobody tell you? Some people think they got a corner on the market, and they can tell you if you got it. I know you got it because you spoke in tongues. I know you got it. I know you got it because you shouted. He said, the guy said, no, you don't know. Because some people, I'm not even going to let them speak in no tongue. He said, some people, I'm not going to let them shout. I'm going to just let them wave their hand. He said, but the power is going to be so evident, and you're going to know it because the love they show. Right? He said, now, everybody, all of us created his image. Then he said this, and God blessed them, and he told them, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Replicate this thing. Replicate this power. Know who he is. Know that we all are one. If I can treat you and make you understand that we're all one mind and not separate mind, and the mind that Tony has is the mind that I have, right? And the mind that Diamond has. We all have the mind of God, and we have different things that's going on. And what happens is everything that happens in the universe and all these things. That's why I may not know how to do it, but Derek do. And so then Derek shares with me, and then I interpret his thoughts. And now his thoughts can give me knowledge about this. But it's in the universe, he just gained it. Maybe he had a closer relationship. That's why people that's really deep and devotional and they really into God, people want to gravitate to him. Because people that's really connected to God got a different aura. You know, some of you are, somebody said, oh, I know you saved. And you say, how did you know that? Just by your aura. By the way you moved, the energy that left you. The way, because the God just was just, was just oozing through your skin, right? And through your life, right? So then he said this, and God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree seed in it is for fruit. Watch this here. And you should have them for food. Everything God gave to all of us, not just me, to all of us, for the sustainability of all of us. Not just some of us. You notice he gave to all of mankind. Then he says this, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creepeth on the earth, everything that is on the that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. So that means God supplied what? Everything to everything that needed. Right? And then he said this in three words, and God saw that everything that he had made was what? It wasn't just good, it was what? Hold it now. So when somebody tell you you're no good, you got to look them in the eye and say, I know I ain't good. I'm very good. Right? I'm very good. I'm not just good. I'm very good. And what happened is people, a lot of us, how many people watch girls basketball? I'm a big South Carolina fan. Big South Carolina fan, right? I watch all their games, Don State, right? Somebody nudge Dr. Abby out to wake him up. Now, so here's the thing. I got you, didn't I? I got you. Yeah. I know you were praying, right? Here we go. Hey, listen. So you gotta always gotta have some humor, right? Right. So listen. So I'm a big South Carolina fan. There's a young girl by the name of Raven Johnson. Raven Johnson was a four-time All-American in high school. Four-time national high school champion, right? She's the number one point guard in high school basketball in the country. She signed with South Carolina. She goes to South Carolina. They win a national championship, and she's the top point guard. She blows her knee out. The Lord heals her and delivers her. And she plays in the semifinal against Iowa. And it's a girl by the name of Caitlin Clark. They were playing Caitlin Clark. South Carolina was undefeated, number one team in the country. And she's at the free throw line, and she waved her off. And she bagged up to Leah Boston, who's the player of the year, and said, go shoot. She can't shoot, and waved her off. When she waved her hand, it sent the girl into a manic depression. They lost the game. She wouldn't even come out of her room. And she's an All-American. Wouldn't come out of her room. They had to get, the mama came up. She wouldn't come out of her room for her mama. She wouldn't go to the store. She wouldn't do nothing. The girl went into depression. She literally lost her mind, right, until her friend tricked her to open the door. And when she opened the door, came in, Travis Green, the pastor, came in with a Bible and started talking to this girl, changed her life. This girl turned it around, and he told us that everything happens for a reason. God didn't send you through this for nothing. The girl, all the girls graduated, all new starters, and she said, we're on a revenge tour. Watch how God worked. They went undefeated again. She goes to the national championship game and plays against Caitlin Clark. The girl was crying because Dawn Staley wouldn't let her guard Caitlin Clark. She was crying. She said, Coach, please, you got to read her article. She said, Coach, please give me Caitlin Clark. Please let me hold her. And the coach wouldn't do it. She said, please. And the girl had 18 points in the first quarter, right, in the first like 10 minutes. She said, Coach, please. She begged him. And the coach finally put on her, and she locked her down. Stole the ball from her, blocked the shot, and everything. And she called, and listen, they end up winning the national championship, right? People called her a crock pot because she was slow cooking. She said, but one thing you can't. She said, don't forget to call me a national champion. God, because, listen, before she knew God, she knew nothing about God. When Travis Green them came into her life and put a Bible in her hand and showed her who she was in God, it changed her whole demeanor. Her whole world flipped. She got devoted to God. She realized who she was in God. She made God the most important thing in her life, and God took them on the exact same journey, this time in a bigger game, when it was a must-win, right? And the same girl that waved her off, that embarrassed her, that they had going all those, and she said, let me hold it. And she embarrassed her. The number one scoring guard ever in the history of basketball got locked down for three quarters of the game by this girl by the name of Raven Johnson, who she waved off and said was no good a year before. When you give your life to God and understand who you are in God, the devil in hell can't stop you. You have to know, but it does not happen until she turned inside and realized, greater is he that is in me. Right? She took a group of girls who had never started in a game and took them, and they went 38-0 under her leadership. And she called it the revenge tour. Right? That's what God can do for you. But you got to know that we all connected to him. I don't care what everybody been telling you. No weapon ever formed against you will prosper if you put your hand in God's hand. Everything that's going on in your life always work together for the good. I was praying the other day, and I said, God, I don't understand why you did what you did. And he told me I was a phenom. I couldn't understand it. He really told me that. He says, you're different. I couldn't understand why I never did drugs. I never did anything. I couldn't read when I graduated from high school. I couldn't understand it. He says, I didn't want you to learn none of that. He says, I wanted to download me inside of you. He said, when you dedicated your life to me, he said, everything you touch turned to gold. Everything I touch turned to gold. Right? It's because of him. Right? I tell you only what I live. You got to give your life to God, and you got to give your life to other people. And the more you give your life to God and then give your life to other people, that means you're connected to him, and then the world becomes your playground. And you got access to all the power, right? Because you don't misuse it now, because you understand it's not just about you, it's about the kingdom. Give the Lord a hand clap. So Spud, the key of the kingdom is you got to understand that it's about one. We all one, right? And we have to understand that we're God's spirit, and we have to appreciate and give ourselves to other people. Everybody says, split me up so I can give part of me away. You got to be a servant, Denise. You got to be a servant. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for what you did for all of us. And some of us, we didn't know how we got here. We didn't understand why you sent us through what you sent us through. But, Lord, we thank you for it. You've given us families that we thought we would never have. You've given us jobs we thought we would never have. You blessed us with income. We don't know how we got it. You brought us through school. We don't understand how we did it, but you did it. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a mate who I know I didn't deserve to have, but you blessed me to have her and have him. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for my children. What a blessing, a gift you gave to me. And I appreciate you so much because you get to let me see who I am, push forward. I appreciate you so much. So, Lord, continue to give me the love for them so they'll know who you are by the way I treat them and the way I treat others. Lord, let my light shine so the others may see my good work and then glorify you. Are you so amazing? You're so awesome. And I appreciate you so much for never, ever, ever turning your back on us. Promise never to leave us. Thank you, Lord. In our darkest hour, you've been there for us. So, Lord, we appreciate you, and we love you. And we want to thank you for everything and for all things. Through our pain, through our suffering, it's all working together for our good. Thank you for allowing us to keep our eyes on the prize. Oh, we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. If you don't have a relationship with God, we want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ and then allow Christ to reside in you and be the Lord of your life. All it takes is you making a commitment to him. Say, God, I'm willing to give my life to you. I want to change. I want to get on the trajectory. I want to be on the path you intend for me to be. So come if you'd like. For those who are already secure, God bless you all. Have a wonderful, awesome, magnificent day. Consider yourself dismissed. God bless you. The altar is open for those who like prayer.